This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's time to raise your game with me, Tasha Fusil. It's Monday, so as usual, we've got a guest from Leadernomics with us. And today, it's Eva Christodoulou.
Christodoulou.
Okay. Right. from the digital learning team. Welcome back, Eva.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Natasha.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about producing high-quality work. Why are we looking at this particular topic?
Right. So high-quality work, that's one of the concepts that there's no proper definition about high quality. How do you really define high quality? And different people will have different ideas of what constitutes high quality. And over the years, it's one of those topics that a lot of people try to define, a lot of different disciplines try to define as well. So you have people coming from the philosophy background, for example, defining it as some sort of innate excellence, which is essentially it means that it's different for different people.
Okay.
It's a little bit like beauty. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So it's essentially the same for high quality as well. Economics, for example, they have a very different idea of what quality is. And that's something that is it's an attribute of a product or an ingredient of a product. So it's something a little bit more concrete, even though it's still very hard to define, because what makes a product very high quality for you might be something very different to what it makes it high quality for me. For example, manufacturing would have a different definition. For them, it would be more in terms of conformity. So as long as you comply with the requirements, you're essentially of a high quality. So why is it important to know all these? Because not everyone will be working with all these different people, but at the same time, you would always have stakeholders that are coming from all these different areas. So for example, even in your own workplace, you would have your boss who will be coming at it from one angle. You would have different other departments of your organization that they will be looking for different attributes of what quality is, and you would also have your clients. Mm. So you need to have an idea of what everyone thinks about high quality and then decide how do you perceive high quality in what it is that you do.
Okay, so let's like sort of zoom in on these different stakeholders. I mean, if you were to look at it from the perspective of the company, how should we go about that?
Right. So a company is one of your main stakeholders because they are the ones that employ you. So
they're important.
So of course, you should try to keep them happy, right? So for some companies, they would have very clearly very clear measures of what quality means for your specific role. And that could be in the form of your KPIs, for example, your yearly performance appraisals. But for some companies, you might not have such a very clear definition of what it means to produce high quality work, especially when it goes to your, if you're in the services industry, if what you do is actually a service and not really a product that people can touch and see.
Right.
So how do you then decide what high quality is if it's not very clearly defined? You have to look at the culture in the company that you're in and just look around for behaviors that you feel that are something that people like, they usually praise, or it's something that they frown upon. So that's how you get to decide what constitutes high quality in your company.
And I suppose it helps to ask people as well, like your boss or your
Definitely,
mentor.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a very good discussion to have with your supervisor or any colleague, actually, because at the end of the day, if you show that you're being proactive and you're really interested to make sure that you're producing high-quality work, it's a plus point. So you should definitely do that.
Is there a difference between looking at it from the perspective of the company and the perspective of your supervisor?
Sure. So the supervisor would generally reflect the company's position on what constitutes high quality. But of course, different people have different standards as well. So it's always very good to keep in mind your supervisor's specific standards. So for example, if you're submitting a proposal, let's say, to a client and your company doesn't really frown upon you submitting it maybe a day later than what you told the client to expect, but your supervisor really feels that this is definitely something that you should never do, that's something that you really need to respect. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, your supervisor is the person that is a gatekeeper and is the one that decides whether you progress within the organization and whether you get the exposure that you need to go further. So you should definitely look for what they are looking.
And if you were to take many steps back and look at it from the industry perspective?
Right. Yeah. So, a lot of times we get caught up in our own bubble and we just look at what our company does and we keep forgetting to look outside a little bit and see what the industry is looking for. So it's always very good to do a little bit of research. Perhaps not research, but just talk to people and just look at what the industry is doing out there. What are your competitors doing? If you see a best practice that you feel that that's something that you should adopt in your own working or whether your company should adopt it, you should definitely make it a point to talk to someone in your company about it and see how you can actually implement it as well.
Okay. There's a lot of initiative involved in producing high quality work, of course.
Definitely. It's how proactive you are, basically.
Yeah. Client expectations is a big one as well.
That's a very big one because that, well, it would define whether you actually sell your products and services or not.
Right.
So client expectations, of course, with the internet out there and information at their fingertips the entire time, anytime that they want it, they can always compare. They can always talk to your competitors, get services from your competitors as well. So it's always good to look at what the clients are looking for as well. Because if they're not very happy with the quality of the work that you're producing, then, well, that's not going to be a very good way to sell your products.
Right, right. There's also yourself, of course, at the end of the day, whether you think you're producing high quality work.
Yeah, so every individual would have their own standards of what high quality work is. And of course, it's always good to stay true to yourself. So if you feel that your personal standards are a bit higher than what you're observing from your other stakeholders, it's always good to keep your own standards. But as a rule of thumb, if you think that your standards are a little bit lower, just abandon your standards and just go with the highest standards. Because at the end of the day, your stakeholders have the biggest say in whether you're progressing or whether you're making a sale or whether your company is actually seen as a company that is worthwhile.
Right, right. Well, there are so many different stakeholders involved and, you know, it's all different, very, very different perspectives. And there might be very conflicting views on what that end result should be like, what quality actually is. So how do you align all these expectations?
Yeah. A good idea is to come up with a list of what your different stakeholders are expecting out of you. And of course, a lot of these would have overlaps. A lot of them might be new things that you never really came across from a different stakeholder. But at the end of the day, this would be a good place to start because it gives you a basis, a foundation as to where to, what things to look for at the beginning. On top of that, of course, you should add certain non-negotiables as well. So things like these are not really the quality of the actual work that you do, but your professionalism while you do it. Mm-hmm. So things like, for example, punctuality. Do you show up for your meetings late, whether it's internal meetings or external meetings? Promptness. Do you deliver what you say that you're going to deliver on the time that you said you would? You know, things like spelling errors, giving a proposal that is full of spelling errors or an email, it's not really a good idea. And all these sort of things. So those should definitely be your non-negotiables as well to add to the list of your priorities in terms of high-quality work.
Okay. I'm with Eva Christodoulou from Lironomics. We'll continue our conversation on producing high-quality work when we come back. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil and we've got Eva Christodoulou from Lironomics here with us. Eva is talking to us about producing high quality work, what it means to make high quality work and how to go about getting it done. So we were talking about that just before, but you know, considering time limitations, not every element of high quality work can be achieved. So how do you prioritize? How do you make, how do you decide what to focus on?
Yeah, it's very hard to get everything right 100%. Even, big manufacturing plants, they would have error, like 1% error, or they would always count for that as well. So how do you really decide which ones to prioritize? So there's three things that you really need to look at. So one is, whose standard is this? And it goes back to your key stakeholders and whether it's coming from a very, very key stakeholder or not. So if it's someone like your boss, your organization, your client, chances are it's something very, very important that you cannot really ignore. So if it's coming from them, you should definitely prioritize that as much as possible. Think of the power that this person has and how it would affect different things, how it would affect your career, your your personal branding as a good worker, whether it would affect the sales or something like that. So if it's a big impact, then you should definitely prioritize it. The second one is how easy would it be to implement something? So if it's something that wouldn't really take a big effort, but it would make a big difference, then by all means, please do prioritize it because it would make a big difference. So for example, if it means that you're working on a proposal and you're just sending it to your sales department, and before you send the proposal, you just email them a very short paragraph to explain why you propose that, it would definitely add a lot of value to it. And it will probably only take you about 2 to 3 minutes to do anyway, so you might as well just do it. So if it doesn't take much time, then definitely add that into your to-do list as well. The third one is how does it compare to your own idea of quality as well? Going back to, you know, yourself is also very important. You know, keeping yourself happy and keeping to your standards as well. So if it's something that you really agree with, then by all means, go ahead and do it.
Okay, so three things to look out for: whose standard it is, who the stakeholder
yes.
is, how easy it would be to implement, and mm-hmm. how it compares with your own idea of quality.
Yes. That's right.
What are some of the things that could become pitfalls, and how do you prepare for those?
Okay, so we have another three general categories for that. One will be lack of resources. So resources in terms of time, in terms of people, and also money. Of course, we don't get everything our way, especially in the workplace. So actually, anywhere, not really just the workplace.
Yep.
but since we don't get everything our way, we definitely would come across a situation that we have an ideal plan in mind, but we don't have the time or the manpower or the money to implement it the way that we would like.
Right.
So how do we go about doing that, doing the best that we can in that scenario? We just choose the attributes of the quality work that we want to deliver that wouldn't necessarily depend on these resources, and we just do our best in those. Then the next step, of course, is to try to sort of influence key people that would give us access to those kind of resources. But of course, we need to justify. We can't just go to our boss and say, hey, you know, I really don't think I can do this. Can you just get two more people to work on this with me?
Right.
Just because I really think that it would benefit in terms of quality. You really need to speak to their language and put it into terms that they would also understand. So how would it benefit the team's performance, for example? Would it actually make a difference in a sale that we're trying to close, and all these sort of things? The second one would be lack of expertise. So lack of expertise is in a way it's a good problem to have, because it depends on yourself,
right?
So you have a lot more control over it and how you go about developing it. So lack of expertise might be because you're new to the role, or because you're new to the company, or it's something that you're not really familiar with, which it's good because it's in your hands to just go and learn as much as you can in order to become an expert in the field and eventually become much better at it. So, of course, this would take a little bit of time. So this would be the most time-consuming part to tackle as well. But it's really worthwhile, because if you really build yourself up and you really look for all the different things that you have at your fingertips, so whether it's talking to colleagues and finding out how they do it, or just looking up things on the internet, reading a lot about it, talking to a lot of people, there's so many things that you can do to improve.
Okay.
The third one would be lack of support. Lack of support, that would be the hardest as well to do, because it means that maybe you think that this product should be of a certain quality, but you don't really get other people to agree with you.
Right.
So how do you deal with that? Well, there's no easy answer. You just need to use your influencing skills, really, and try to convince people why this is so important. So if you find evidence that shows, look, we would really benefit if we do it this way, or it would be so much better because of this and this and this reason, then it would really make your case.
Have you ever experienced a real-life situation where you had to, work through this? You had to convince people or influence people to reach a higher standard of quality?
Yes, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. You just need to be very, very persistent and really build your case around it. So depending on the people that you're trying to influence as well, and what their style is and what kind of information they need to make a decision as well. You just have to go about it. So maybe it's showing them a lot of statistics. Maybe it's if you're in a position of authority, of course it's easier because you just play your authority card. But of course it's not the ideal way of doing things as well. So you need to be a little bit careful with that. But maybe it's just presenting them with examples of how it would benefit what it is that you're doing.
Right.
So just choose your, look at your target and see what kind of influencing technique would actually help and just try to use that.
So I suppose it also helps to understand like what they're lacking as well, because for them, mm-hmm. especially if you're a leader, I mean, like it could be, like you said, lack of expertise. That person, every person has a different sort of pitfall that's holding them back.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. So it's good to understand what they're thinking as well, not just yourself.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay, so what are some final thoughts on the topic?
Right. So for me, quality is something very important, simply because it's something that we live by. It's a legacy that we leave behind. So it's whether we really hate our job and we're just coming in for the paycheck. If we produce high quality work, it will always follow us through wherever we go next. So if it's something to talk about to the next employer that we go to, or if it's if we're looking for a promotion in the current place that we're at and we want to show something for it, to show why we're worth it, it's something to really work on and really make sure that we have. At the end of the day, the quality of your work would definitely speak about you before people know your name. So it's very important to focus on that and make sure that we do the most that we can to make sure that everything is perfect, as much as possible, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Eva.
Thanks for having me.
Eva Christodoulou from the Digital Learning Team at Leadernomics, speaking to us about producing high-quality work. Stay tuned for a Tech Talk at 12 o'clock. We'll be looking at the importance of customer experience with Jeff Sandu and Daniel Cran, who is the APAC Director of Log Me In. This has been Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.